Let's take a look at this parable. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. All right. Oh, and there's also an account in Luke chapter 6, 46 through 49. So if one side of the room wants to take Luke and somebody else take Matthew 7, that's fine. All right, here we go. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. There's a parable. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Okay? Here we go. Now, and everyone, verse 26, that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Now, I want you to notice something. Notice, the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And here, that happened to the wise guy. And here we see the same rain descended, and the same floods came, and the same winds blew and beat upon that house. So in this parable, they're taking the natural occurrence of, let's say, a hurricane and the storm, but we have two different outcomes. So we want to understand why one fell and the other didn't. So now we can start looking at this thing in the natural, pulling it apart, and understanding in the spiritual realm, what is Christ trying to tell us through this parable. I know we've all probably read this before. I mean, this is really a pretty easy thing. You know, you got to have a good foundation. But now let's start to pick this apart to really get to a deeper truth and understanding of what this means. Okay. Now, I like the Luke one because in Matthew, it opens up with therefore. So I got to figure out the therefore, because therefore means there was something before. Amen. There was something before. Now, I didn't want to go all the way back in Matthew to figure out what the before was, but in Luke, which is kind of the same account, it kind of tells you what the therefore was. Okay, so in Luke chapter 6, starting at verse 46, it says, because he's been talking to them all along, you know, like talking to children, you know, they get a little hard-headed, yeah. You know, why you call me dad, why you call me mom, and you ain't going to do what I tell you to do. All right, here we go. All right. And why call ye me Lord? Lord. Twice. Why you call me Lord, 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 and do not the things which I say? Which means, well, I got some highlights there or whatever, but they're calling him Lord, they're calling him the Christ, they're calling him the Messiah, but they're not doing what he's instructing them to do. And so he asked them a question, and I don't have this in my notes. I'm just wondering, what is the answer? What is the answer to the question? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I tell you to do?
Well, we have a sinful nature.
Oh, because we have a sinful nature. All right?
Pride.
Because pride. Yeah, I can do this on my own.
I don't
need Yep. There's a variety of lack of faith. Mm-hmm. You may not know what you're talking about. I got this.
Yeah. It all starts with the faith.
And I agree. It starts with the faith. You got to believe. Hey, I know what I'm doing. Yeah, maybe you do, but I think I know better. I'm kind of closer to this than you are. So, if he's Lord, then he's in control.
It's perspective, too.
It is perspective, too.
We can't see it from God's perspective. That's where faith has to come in. But from our perspective, it looks impossible,
or it looks too hard, or it looks too challenging. Well, I've heard this a lot in the last few years. It's a fairy tale.
Wow.
Because they don't. It's a fairy tale to them.
Because you have to experience it.
Holy Spirit.
You have to experience it.
Holy Spirit's the one.
Now remember, I love the perspective. Because when I look at it from my perspective, this is foolishness. But God has a different perspective because he sits high and looks low. And the higher you get, the broader perspective that you have. All right?
Amen.
When I'm down here in Chuck World, all I see is Chuck World and the few planets that orbit around it. And some of them keep trying to break out of the gravitational pull.
also on our daily earthly life, all we see is what's going on.
But I need to get a different perspective. So I love the perspective thing. Mm-hmm. Now
we need to ascend.
And he has that perspective for us when we line up with him, because that's that light that we were talking about before, all right, that comes from him and his truth. Now, last week we talked about the light, and we looked at Christ's prayer in John 17 and how he prayed for them and how he prayed for the disciples to be witnesses. So, yes, the world sees this as foolishness, and he even said in the prayer, Christ said in the prayer, you know, it's going to be foolishness to some folk. But he sent them out as witnesses. And he sends us out as witnesses. What is a witness? I asked this question in the prison, and they came up with it right away. Because, you know,
one who bears evidence.
Evidence based upon?
Facts.
Or experience. Testimony. What they've seen. Testimony. All right? So while it may seem... Now I've got a friend who's atheist. They're all in the same boat to me. Yeah. But anyway... Yeah. And we used to go arguing back and forth because you got to kind of sort of know a little bit of what you don't believe in. So he knew the Bible to a degree, mm-hmm. probably better than the average Christian. But he was misquoting it and was missing the spirit and the intent of what the scripture said. So we'd go back and forth on that. And then eventually he just stopped and said, you know what? Because he's wearing me out anyway. So eventually he said, you know what? I can counter your argument. I can come back with science. I can do this and that. And I can come back with science. So, and he said, you know, there's one thing, Chuck, that I cannot refute. And he said, what you say God has done in your life. What you say the Bible has done in your life, that's the one thing that I cannot argue against. And from this agnostic, atheist point of view, was so much truth in that, ooh, that's all. And so, and one of the greatest testimonies I ever heard in the Bible was the blind guy and the Pharisees, the church folk, like, we know this, we know that, we know this. You know what? I didn't go to school. I'm not a scribe. I'm not a Pharisee. I don't know the word. All I know is this. I was blind.
Jesus.
And
now
I see.
And now I see.
Amen.
You can never, an atheist can never give you, point out somebody whose life was changed by atheism or agnosticism. But we can go find people whose lives have been changed.
Right.
So while it might seem foolishness, you can't deny the fact that I'm telling you as a witness, woo, that God has made a wonderful difference in my life. Yes. And continues to do so. So my faith is strong in the evidence of that. And so, you know, I got to share my witness and my testimony because that will drive out the foolishness. Mm-hmm. We have a message. Everybody won't receive it, but those who do receive it, they have eternal life. You don't have to wait to die to get it. You can have more abundant life right now. All right? So this why call me Lord, don't do the things that I say, we have to surrender. It's that humility again, and then it's the steps. The steps are in this. Humility. Well, I'm calling you Lord because I need you. Because what I'm doing ain't working. Two, I repent. Repent of what? Repent of going back and trying to handle things as I laid them on the altar. Three, my hope is in you, Lord, and not in my schemes or my ideas or my own strength. And until you get through those first three steps, he ain't Lord. And there used to be an old song I used to sing in the old Baptist church. Is you all on the altar of sacrifice laid? is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid. Sing, people. You're all those the Spirit. All right. I guess that was only in the Piney Woods.
I didn't know the words.
Yeah, all those gospel songs had the same tune. Anyway.
I think one of the churches, supposed to be saying, "What
did he say?" You know what? Yeah, especially the ones where they used to back in the country.
Keep it going,
that voice. If they didn't tell you the verses beforehand,
you didn't know.
I love the Lord, he heard my cry, and he made me glad. We digress. Let's come back to white people church. Come on back. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. All right, let's come back. I surrender. There you go. It's your all. I surrender all. And sometimes we don't surrender all. And when we don't surrender all, then we okay. Anyway, all right. Well, we'll never get through this if we don't get past this first verse. So let's keep going.
I think that's why God asks us to do things that seem too hard. Because we want to do them then we have to surrender it all and let Him do it. Because we literally cannot.
Right. Yes. Okay. Verse 47. Whosoever. Now, I highlighted these things, okay? Because this is key. Verse 47. I'm sorry. We're in Luke. Luke 47. Whosoever, you don't have to turn, I got to answer. Whosoever cometh to me, so you got to come, you got to have the need. Have to come. Whoever comes to me and hears. So you got to have the need and you have to listen. Whoever comes to me and hears my saying, and, here's the big one,
and then follow me.
Doeth them. So you got to recognize the need, one. You have to hear and understand the word, all right? And then you have to apply. You got to do it. You got to act upon the word, which goes back to what Roger said, by
faith.
Very good. I will show you to whom he is like. If you do this, this is what you're like. You're like the man to build a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. We shall not be shaken. That's the song by Bill in 429. I love that song. We won't be shaken, whatever tomorrow brings. Sing, young people. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, 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 we won't be shaken. There you go. Who said an old dog can't learn new tricks? Okay, y'all are having too much fun. Let's get back to seriously. All right. Verse 49, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that, without a foundation, built the house upon the earth. Ooh, that's even scary just hearing that. Building upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. The storms beat again, and immediately it fell, and they rioted and looted stores in the neighborhood. Immediately it fell, and they stormed the capital. No, that's key. My bad, dude. That's the problem. Let me keep going. Okay, I make a note in my notes here. One of two outcomes is evident on this. All right, first, if we call on the Lord and we don't obey His word, then we're just giving Him lip service. Got it? If we call Him Lord, 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 and then you're going to still go out and do your own thing? Okay. And He sees through that.
We do it all the time.
He does.
Wow. Yeah. So why are we... Okay. There's got to be application by faith when we call him Lord. All right. Okay. Matthew 7. Oh, Al, I got that highlighted. So turn to Matthew 7, 21 to 23. I didn't add to that. Somebody take a look at that. I think I know what that verse says.
I get it.
Okay.
7, 21.
Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven.
Hello.
Yeah.
Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter.
There is the therefore for the Matthew. Not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. That is scary.
What about those who never hears the word of
Then in Romans,
you take all them people, for instance, it's all over the world.
Yep.
That's never met a missionary.
Absolutely.
That's never heard the word, and sometimes we fail right here in our own country.
Right, and we have the word. We have all that privilege. We are a country of privilege because we have the word.
Yeah.
Not to digress, but Romans kind of captures that, in that God will measure us by the amount of light that we have received. So no one was without excuse. Anybody ever go hunting or fishing?
No, fishing all the time.
Okay. When you're not seeing any deer move in the woods, and when you're not catching any fish, it's just kind of you and nature.
Mm-hmm.
You ever feel the presence of God? I can walk out here right now. I can look at these doggone trees and the turning of leaves, and I can just see the wonderful. That is the light. Nobody's without excuse, because even nature cries out to the magnificence of there being a God.
Or Chuck, when the sun rays go through the clouds and come down on the earth. Wow!
Oh yeah, some of the fall sunsets are just awesome. Yeah, I just know there's a God. All right, let's go back. Thank you for that. All right. Oh, there's 1 Corinthians 3, and I'll talk about that later, because there's two things here. One is people who say, Lord, Lord, but they've never really received God in the first place. They never really received Christ in the first place. Yeah, so kind of, but then you have those that have received Christ, but they're building. They've got the foundation, but they're not building the right stuff on the foundation. Two different things here, and I want to cover both in this parable. So we'll come back to 1 Corinthians 3, because that's kind of like a believer's judgment in 1 Corinthians 3, where everybody has the right foundation, but yes. Mm-hmm. All right. So I said the rock in this story must be the words and instructions. So I asked that question. In this parable, what do you think the rock is? The rock must be that foundation that we build our life, that we build our country on, that we build our church on, that we build our situations on. That's that rock. It's the word. All right? Because how do I know that? Well, go back to what he said here. Whosoever cometh to me and hears my sayings, that word, and does them, I will show you who he's like. He's like a man who built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. What is that rock?
Jesus.
Jesus is the rock. Now, I just took you all the way back, and you will start to remember in that Old Testament all those ideas and symbolism of Jesus being portrayed as the rock. When Moses, they were out of water, he struck the rock, which is symbolic of Christ being struck for us. And then when he went through again, and he only spoke to the rock, but he went and hit it anyway, and then that caused him to not have to get into the kingdom, because after he's been crucified once, you don't have to crucify him again, God forbid. All you have to do is speak to
the rock.
And so we see that. And then we see 1 Corinthians 10. If we had time, I'd go there. But and I would not have you ignorant that all our fathers came through the cloud and through the sea, and all of them drank from that spiritual rock, and that rock was Jesus. Well, wait, Jesus wasn't with them when they came through the Exodus.
Yeah, it was John.
John 1.
Yeah.
Because it's the Word. He's the Word. He's the light. And he's doing those same things. Because they did see Jesus. They saw Jesus as the Passover lamb that they symbolically slew and put the blood on the doorpost of the house. They symbolically saw the death of Christ when they left Egypt and crossed through the Red Sea. They symbolically saw the resurrection when they saw all those dead Egyptians in the Red Sea, or whatever sea it was that was parted, and they were on the other side. And so, and then they heard God's voice and saw Pentecost on Mount Sinai. That's our four steps. So even back then, they saw Jesus because they went through the four steps. And that's the foundation that we... So if you want to know how to apply the foundation of Christ, it's in the four steps. All right? You can't build right until you get to step four. But the foundation is always to Christ, because in our testimony, we are witnessing always of Jesus. It's Jesus. It's the witness, Jesus, what Jesus done for... All right, let me keep going. All right. So the rock in this story is the instructions. It's that. Now, commonality here, will storms come?
Yes.
Did they come in the natural? Yes. In this story, they came. All right. I don't care what the weather says today, storms are coming. All right. So we should not be surprised. Oh, my God, there's a storm coming. No, we should be prepared when the storms come. All right. Wise people are prepared when the storms come, and foolish people freak out. All right, so I got some things here. The storms are not going to defeat you or whatever. And I highlighted again in Luke, come, hear, do. Come to him because I'm in need. Hear what he's saying and then do what he's saying. Don't disagree with what he's saying. But, well, I hear what he said, but they don't apply to me.
All right. And that's
now,
not just in the big stuff.
It's in all the stuff. The Bible says the little foxes that spoil the vine. I'm okay with the big stuff, but it's the little stuff that just gets under my nerves. All right. I got some notes. Let me just kind of read through some of my notes. That's one side of the story. The other side of the story states there are people who will hear the word, but they do not obey or apply the word in their lives. And this is compared to somebody who builds a house that is not on the foundation. Again, I refer back to 1 Corinthians 10, because Jesus is the rock of that foundation. The gospel of Jesus, those four steps. It's the gospel of Jesus. All right? And the result is that the storms will surely come. You guys said the storm's coming. And the whole house is ruined, which means you have a wasted life. I'm not with the parable said. And great will be the fall. He invested all that in us, and then great will be the fall because we don't have that foundation. Okay, there's a whole lot of things you can see in the story. The houses in the story, they are us. I saw another, I think I heard Tony Evans say the houses could be your country, the houses could be your life, the houses can be those little situations or whatever that you're dealing with, the houses could be you. All right? Different applications for what that house is and what you're building upon it. All right? But for those of us, okay, our lives, our bodies, or whatever, we are the house of God. If our foundation is laid on him, we can build upon it and know that we can stand in the face of trials and storms. But for those of us who hear but don't know how to apply the truth of God's word, we can still build. Aha! And it can look magnificent, but when the storms come, and they will come, what we have been working and building on from our own strengths and efforts will eventually fail. Here's the application point. Hearing the word is only one step. It has no power or benefit if you don't also obey.
He hears and doeth.
Be ye also. Faith without works is dead faith. All right?
Chuck, you just said something there that says if they don't know how, that's where us as believers can help.
Because we are getting that understanding. So even Paul tells him, you know, study to show yourself approved. So that's one of the major things that I've learned from this doing this parable study, is even from the very first parable, is understanding. I've read this parable over and over again, but to get a deeper understanding of what they're talking about. You guys are writing this stuff down, but you can just go to the website and just pull it off there. But that's good. That's good. That's going to be easy. Whatever gets you the understanding. So many times I was so excited about preachers that would preach, and because they were so exciting and get you all pumped up and hyped up or whatever. But I believe I'd not have understanding. I need understanding. Susan, what you got back there?
This day and time, with all the chaos.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Just storms. Go ahead.
Storms. I think a simple testimony to somebody that you pass in the grocery store or wherever to say, you know, it looks crazy, but, you know, we just have to trust that God's in control.
Yes.
Just a simple statement, it's going to be okay. We're going to get there.
Yeah. And the strength of this parable is, it's not even Tony Evans, I'm not sure. The storms for the foolish and the wise are the same. Which means everybody eventually is going through a similar type of storm. Everybody's going to go through the death of a loved one. Somebody's going to go through some kind of a storm on their job. Somebody's going to go through a storm in their marriage. Somebody's going to go through a storm in their relationship. Somebody's going to go through a dandelion storm in their yard. Hallelujah. Everybody's going through a storm. But how you deal with the storm and the foundation on which you work off of that storm is going to be the difference in whether the storm takes you out.
Right. How you apply the light.
There you go. Because how do you apply the light? And the light is the Word.
The Word.
Now, I'm making fun of Jimmy because I love him, but I ain't even gonna hardly stop using him. Not even remotely gonna stop using.
Do I need to put an email to have your yard done?
They just did the application.
Okay, good.
And then, here you go.
Application.
They applied it.
It has been applied. The dandelion will go away. You gotta
so you gotta have faith. In the application, and you have to wait because they just applied it like a week ago.
And that waiting is
murder.
But I've got a tendency. You know what? So I walk through the yard. I'm like, I'm just gonna pluck this thing up. I was like, no, that's what we do. I gotta let it do its work. Praise God for Jimmy's ministry of the gospel. Through the dandelion in my yard. All right, here we go.
Put some water on it.
What?
You're putting the water on it, it ain't gonna work.
Well, thank you, Mr. Grassman.
It takes
patience.
Yeah.
Which means it's driven by faith.
Because you know, in the past it worked.
Oh, that's the other thing. I ain't never had dandelions in my yard. No, that's always worked before.
They're coming from your neighbor.
But when the storm comes,
they blew them in. The storm blew them in.
Something
else ruffled your feathers.
We're gonna move on.
Hey, Chuck, I do want to. It is the word that the Bible tells us, my word will go forth and do what I intended to do.
Yep.
Even though we can't see it.
Yes.
I have noticed this scripture. I don't know if I'd ever noticed it really or not a long time, but Daniel 10:12-13 says, then he said unto me, which is the angel that appeared to Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I've come for thy words.
don't give up, but hold on to the unchanging hand of God.
Absolutely.
That's, I mean, the word he comes for the words that we speak out from his words. He takes them and they go to work.
And sometimes
we can't see it.
Right. And sometimes when the storms come, we're like, why are we going through the storm? Mm-hmm. Well, they come. And how come this storm ain't already over?
It
ain't done.
So we can be a
but yes, and you go through the storm so that you can be a testimony to somebody else. And that's what's happening here in this parable. Somebody built wise on the foundation of Christ, and when the storm came, they survived. Mm-hmm. They didn't suffer loss. They were okay. They were sustained. They were preserved. And that's the testimony for us. But then God, in his loving kindness, not only does he give you the great example, he gives you the anti-example. So that you can see where you are.
So that you can see that blessings come from obedience.
Well, you need to say that again. Blessings come from obedience.
True, 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 true.
Ooh. We still don't have storms.
Yeah.
But,
blessing, you got, she just said, you have to be obedient in the storm. In fact, you have to be obedient before the storm. Thank you. All right. Because it might be too late when the storm comes. So you go, this is coming. I mean, it works for an inmate. I'm coming. All right, they're at the door now. I mean, he still hears you, but you're going to go through this one. All right. Here's the application. Hearing the word is only one step. It has no power or benefit if you don't also obey. All right? I've got my Mercedes-Benz out there. I have to drive it every day now because somebody crashed up my other car. But, So I got the Benz. And they got this feature on the Benz that allows you, because it's automatic, but they got this little feature on the steering wheel or whatever that you can kind of click or whatever, and you can use manual shifting.
And my Altima does that on the side of the steering
wheel. Yeah, on the side of the steering
wheel. I can pull my gear stick all the way back and it becomes manual.
Yeah. And my son was using it one time when we were driving something. He said, you know, you got manual. I said, yeah, I know. I got the manual. I saw it in the manuals, in the owner's manual. You know, I don't know how to use it, but you know, it's the owner's manual. I know I had the functionality or whatever. I had the power. Yes, ma'am.
I don't know. This is just welling up with me because maybe somebody just needs to have this acknowledged. But you know, storms are hard.
They are.
Storms can be very hard.
Yes. But if you got the foundation, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, which means the storm won't take you out.
Just have to ride it out.
Because we have the keys to not stay in despair.
Right. Absolutely.
We have the Word of God.
Yep.
We have prayer. We have other Christians.
Yep.
We have calling out, which is prayer.
That could be the testimony, too. When you know that the storms are the same, and when you know that other people have gone through those storms, it's fine. Let me clean up my example real quick. And so I got this functionality, and I know, I understand how it works, but my son uses it, but I don't. And, you know, do you think I'm going to ever stop to figure out how to do it? I bought the car in 2013. it's going to be 2022 pretty soon. I still don't know how to use the thing. Why is that?
Because you don't need it.
I have not recognized the need, and I have not humbled myself to ask my son how you do it.
Why go through all that work?
I'm just okay. Let's just try.
Well,
you know,
it's not the desire of your heart.
It's not the desire of my heart. Or I just feel like that's for somebody else, but it's not for me. But God's power is for everybody.
Amen.
Don't discredit yourself. Got an amen from Big Mac. So we good to move on a little bit? Okay. All right. Here's some more application points. People can still be self-righteous by focusing on the outside beauty and not understanding that your foundation spiritually is weak. Which means, you got to understand, both of them had the mind to build. And I'm pretty sure what they built looked good on the outside. But when the storm came, it don't look so good afterwards. except for the one that's wise. I need to have a life that survives the storm, so after the storm, people can still see God is still God.
Amen.
Do you think that this parable is where the story of the three little pigs came from?
I've heard a preacher use the three little pigs coming out of this. I don't know where three little pigs came from, but I heard somebody use that as an example. No, it is. I heard a preacher just the other day use three little pigs as an example. Jimmy and Susan, thank you very much for the... Yeah, all right.
Well, the thing about it is, in a storm, there's a difference between losing some shingles...
Right.
...and catastrophic failure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There can be some damage, but...
Yeah. But still intact, still looking good. All right. The things that they are building are not from the foundation of Christ. So the foundation of Christ in His Word is important, and we need to obey that. We need to do the things that Christ says do to prepare the foundation so we can stand in the storm. All right. I got another note here. Notice the application as we see things in believers' lives that don't last or fail as a result of the storm. All right. We can build upon things, and then all of a sudden it's going to be revealed through the storm whether we have the right foundation or not. But we can prevent that catastrophic failure by just doing what Christ said to do. I don't know what Christ said to do. Well, follow the steps. And it will put you in position to obey what He reveals to you.
Chuck, one other thing is, being a father, if your foundation is not strong, if your children are trying to build... Add on.
Yeah, okay.
And you collapse, your foundation collapses, theirs is going to collapse.
Yeah, there's a point. Yeah, yeah, when you take that in the natural, yeah, yeah. Yeah, because kids are going to do kind of what the parents are doing. So now they're...
Can you say that your kids believe what the mom believes, but they do what the dad does, boys especially?
Okay. I'm thinking about my dad now. All right. They don't mention this, and I don't know if I got this out of a commentary or not or whatever, or maybe the Spirit gave it to me. But sometimes the house does fall. Sometimes the marriage does fail.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Sometimes things do blow up.
But there's redemption in Jesus.
But there's redemption. You can rebuild and be restored.
Yes.
That's not in the parable, but I wanted to add that in there, that you can. Don't let the catastrophic failures of your past keep you from building the proper foundation now.
Amen.
Got it?
God's into all yes. those rebirths.
Yeah. Yeah.
Redemption, rebuild.
I said there are two accounts are very similar. But this seems to be a specific message for the two different types of people, saved and lost. 1 Corinthians 3 is more of a believer's judgment. This one is more of a saved, unsaved. Don't unsaved people want success and favor and just like we do?
Mm-hmm.
But they go about a different way.
Yeah.
And it's almost like the wheat and tares. Everything's getting built up, looking together, but then all of a sudden the storms come and one of them is not going to be there. So don't get caught up looking at somebody else's fruit or building. If it's not on the right foundation, you probably should start praying for them because they ain't going to last.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how much money is in it. I don't care what neighborhood it's in. It ain't going to last if it doesn't have the right foundation. It just won't. It's just a matter of the time, because one thing is evident. The storms are going to come. All right, I got... Oh, only one group is called wise. I like that. All right. I got a couple of scriptures here. We're about out of time, but there's Proverbs 10:25. I can't remember what that says. Isaiah 28:16. 1 Corinthians 3:11. I don't want to do 1 Corinthians yet. I'll save that for next week. If somebody wants to turn to Proverbs 10:25 and tell me what that says, and somebody else, Isaiah 28:16. I didn't highlight it, but I got it written there. And then I've got something from my Matthew Henry commentary, and I want to read that to you. I've got it on the screen there. And whoever gets those scriptures, just let me know where
Proverbs
you're reading from.
Proverbs 10:25, when the storm has swept by, the wicked are gone, but the righteous stand firm forever.
Wow. I guess I should have highlighted that scripture. All right, good. So wickedness is associated with catastrophic failure from the storm, because the foundation of salvation and eternal life is not there. I've got to build my hope on the foundation of Christ. So he almost in that equates unbelief as wickedness, which it is. Which it is. All right, somebody else got the other scripture yet? Or?
What is it?
It was Isaiah 28 and 16. And I'm going to read what Matthew Henry says. That there are many who profess that they hope to go to heaven, but despise this rock and build their hopes upon the sand, which is done without much pains, but is their folly. See, nobody wants to put that hard work in. Yeah, I was listening to a...
Well, come on. If you've ever done any earthwork, sand, you get there digging.
I heard...
You got to work at it up here in the clay.
Yeah. I heard a preacher say that he went and saw some actual foundation work and said, when you try to put a foundation in a solid, you're going to have to put some work. You have to drill and stuff like that. But the sand, you can put that up quick, fast, and hurry. And everybody wants that quick, microwavable, you know, prefab stuff, and it just doesn't have the solid foundation.
But in the sand, like down at the beach, when he built, the codes for the buildings are so much stronger and stricter that you have to brace everything up doubly or triple.
Yep.
Prepare for the storm because you're building in the sand.
Oh, I guess they must think that the storm's coming.
Storm's coming.
Okay.
Chuck, you
know
this.
Well, they know it.
Did you notice in Montgomery you got two different types of soil?
Yeah.
You got the fertile soil.
Yep.
Anything south of 85 and north of 85 is solid.
Right.
But you build on that fertile soil, when it gets dry, it cracks.
The whole
foundation is going to shift.
And that's why I don't prepare some of the cracks in my wall right now, because when it gets hard, it shifts. When it expands, it moves all over the place. I had to get... to fix the foundation.
Yeah.
You know, to secure it.
Yeah.
You know, because you know I'm like, where's this crack? And I replastered when we first bought the house. I replastered the cracks. You know, I did that. I had somebody come in and say, hey, you missed one. And blah blah. And after it comes back.
Yeah.
And what's going on? Oh, it's not what you're doing up here. It's your foundation is off.
Foundation. Yeah.
Yeah.
One more thing, y'all. Talk about this. You come out in the prairie mud, it's very, what they call elastic.
Yes.
And
heard that term.
The reason it cracks is because you don't keep your soil wet around your house, which is water, which is like your life.
Right.
Yep.
If you don't have the water in your life, you're going to dry up and you're going to crack.
There you go.
It's going to what they call heave. It's going to move.
Move.
Yep.
Instead of being steady and solid.
And
you keep the Holy Spirit in your life.
There you go.
You're going to be steady.
Without the Holy Spirit watering your life, you're going to shift.
Right.
You're going to wind up, and your marriage is going to crack, your job's going to crack, your peace is going to crack, and if you get too far down the word, the crack will get cracked. But anyway, and you just be a crackhead anyway.
Practical thing, put a soaker hose around your house, and in the summer keep it down.
Yep.
That's right.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
So, what's the soaker hose in our life?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
The Word of God. Yeah.
Keep it right.
Which is the sword of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Let me wrap this up real quick.
You want Isaiah?
Yes.
Did you say 28:16?
I said Isaiah 28:16.
Therefore, thus says the Lord God: Behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious
cornerstone.
A sure stone. Yeah. Whoever believes will not act hastily.
Don't act hastily in the storm. Don't get rushed and don't build the foundation before you go. Here's one. I've got an issue. I've got to call somebody on this particular issue, but I'm going to make... this ain't in my notes, so sketch this. I've got an issue with you, and I need to deal with you But before I deal with you and storm out of here, I'm going to build on the foundation. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to repent for how I want to deal with you. I'm going to trust the Lord. How do you want me to do? And then I'm going to put my hope in Him. And then through the Holy Spirit, I'm going to say, now, when I get ready to confront this thing, I need to make sure that you get glory so that when I come to you, it ain't a storm.
Ooh, that's so a reach right there. We need to make sure we're not storms. Because if you do that, sorry, I just messed you up. And I have been a storm way too many times in my loved one's life.
Because like you said, if you do that, then most likely the Lord's like, it's not even working. He's working it out. Just don't say nothing. But we got to say less words.
It's all fair for terms where we're at.
Yeah.
Make sure
it moves all the time.
What happened? I was at work and something happened, and I was like, I want to talk to the CEO. So my boss was like, well, let's just wait and follow the chain of command. I was like, okay. I sat at my desk and I prayed about it, and I was like, you know what?
There you go.
Now imagine if I had said, well, I want to talk. She's like, okay, let's go. You know, but
oh, you wouldn't have been on a good foundation.
You see what I'm saying?
I know.
But it's like, I said, you know what? And then she's like, are you sure? I think I'm good.
That's why.
I'm going to change the situation, so what's the point?
That's why I need that soaker hose around me with the Holy Spirit to make sure that I don't go shifting or whatever. I tell you, I've been saved for a long time, but every now and then, stuff happens. And
yeah.
You want to come open?
You want to come open? Praise God for the Holy Ghost. Yeah, just for the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know. Yeah. After a while, I'll be so saved, it won't even happen anymore.
And people ask me why. Get up so early.
Ooh, to make sure my foundation is sure. All right. Let me close. Let me finish up with. Oh man, this is good. Ooh, this is good word. All right. Which is done without much pain, because you don't have to put much effort into the sand, as Roger said, but is their folly. It's foolishness. Everything besides Christ is sand.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Everything besides Christ is sand.
Amen.
Some build their hopes upon their worldly prosperity. I know I try to. As if they were a sure token of God's favor. Others upon their external profession of religion, the privileges they enjoy, the performance they go through in that profession, the whoop, and the reputation they have got by it. They are called Christians, were baptized, go to church, hear Christ's words, say their prayers, and do nobody any harm. And if they perish, God help a great many. This is from Matthew Henry. We look good on the outside, but the foundation of Christ is not there, and we perish. Ooh, that's scary. Well, no, it's not scary for me, because we know.
But you don't see the trailer going behind the hearse that they're taking all this up with them.
No, there's no trailer there. The trailer ain't going to the cemetery. The trailer's not going to the cemetery. It's going to the estate sale. Well, that's going. Yeah. All right.
That's so good.
All right. So, we're going to leave off at, where are we going to leave off at? We're going to do some summary on this, and we'll leave off. Yeah. I want to get, and then we'll get to.
3:10, you said.
Thank you. Remind me. We'll go over 1 Corinthians 3:10 so we can talk about that different foundation or whatever. Okay. And then we will get to our next one.
3:10-15.
Yeah. And then we will go to our next parable, which is, okay, let me just do this and get to the beginning of whatever this is.
Come on here.
Ooh. New cloth, old garments, excuse me, and new wine into old wineskins.
Yeah,
so we will be in Matthew chapter 9 after we finish this up. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Last call for... Get the right foundation. I'm trying to get something spiritual that rhymes with alcohol, but I ain't come up with it yet.
Well, that's nice
about it.
It's not really a last call for the right foundation.
Praise God. All right, there you go. All
right,
yeah, there you go.
If you give a chapter for where we're starting in Corinthians,
Three. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 3 in relation to this. Two different perspectives. One is catastrophic failure, and the other is failure, but you have the foundation. While we're talking about foundation, I want to make sure that we cover both aspects. Because it is, yes, because it is possible, as we studied today, you can just be off. Totally, from the start, bad foundation, right? Mm-hmm. And you can be a Christian, and then when you go off in your, you know, different things, you can leave without the foundation, and all of a sudden you're a Christian, but now you don't, yeah. But then you've got those who are believers. It's a believer's judgment, a Bema seat judgment, and we're all going to be judged, but we've got the foundation, so we won't lose our salvation, hopefully. But we'll have nothing to show for it. First Corinthians 3, chapter 3, is the reward chapter for believers. So I just want to kind of cover that briefly, and then we'll jump into the old wine and the other stuff, which I never, since I didn't keep wine in wineskins, I never really could understand that. And since I don't know how to sew, I never really understand that. So we're going to have to look at the natural aspects of that parable and see what's going on with that. Okay? All right.